Welcome to Apartment 4D, the podcast all about New Girl. I'm your host, Jill, here with my co-host, Hevs.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe.
Hello.
And we're here to discuss Season 4, Episode 12 of New Girl, titled Shark. Before we do, we'll pass around the feeling stick. I have nothing. I feel confident Joe has nothing. Heather? Do you have a feeling, Joe?
Nope.
I mean, we've been sitting here recording all these episodes in a row. You haven't, so...
It's not that I like this episode, but this episode contains one of my all-time... Am I boring you?
No, I'm so tired.
One of my all-time favorite scenes. Okay, so I wanted to tell you guys that. And then I also wanted to tell you guys, if you want to watch something opposite of New Girl, because New Girl is like the best roommates ever. No, New Girl's the best roommates ever. Sorry.
That's what you said.
No, I said they're the worst roommates ever. But there is a show now. You'd love it, Joe. It's called Worst Roommates Ever. And it's on Netflix. And it's true. And I mean, it is scary. It is scary.
Yeah, Joe thought you shouldn't be watching that.
It's on my list.
He did?
Well, I don't know. Well, Worst Roommate Ever could be a comedy. Could be a murder mystery. I don't know what it is.
I think it involves when people get murdered, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. By their roommates.
Joe's right. I shouldn't have watched it.
Okay.
And then, last thing I'm going to say is, so that's opposites. But if you want something similar to New Girl and just this sense that it will totally lift you up, there's only 7 episodes. It's brand new. And it is such a feel-good show. It's on HBO. And it's called Somebody Somewhere. Check it out.
Okay. The Netflix episode description for Shark is Jess urges Schmidt to use his political links to halt the night construction on their street. Nick and Coach are concerned about Winston's partner, which is one of my favorite storylines ever.
Me too.
Joe Flicks. Right.
Oh, boy. Well, a good title would be Bro, I Got Your Back.
Oh, bro. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
I like it.
Because this is the first time we ever see, and I'll come back to this during the show.
Okay.
But this is the first time we see where the two guy roommates, like, really back up another roommate.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's Jess.
Right.
Either pushing or prodding. These guys weren't pushed or prodded by Jess.
Right.
They're just like,
it's a really good point.
And if anyone gets backed up, it's never Winston who gets backed up.
Exactly.
And I also had that in my notes. It
is. Okay, guest stars from this episode include Nasim Pedrad, who plays Allie, which we're very excited to see her finally enter the show because she's on for the rest of it, and Zoe Lister-Jones, who plays Fawn Moscato.
Fawn Moscato.
This podcast is approved by Fawn Moscato.
Yeah, and Fawn Moscato was on Life in Pieces.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she was one of the stars of the show. But in it, she was pregnant. She looked totally different.
Mm-hmm.
But she is a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find Life in Pieces, watch it. But if you can find Life in Pieces, please tell me, because I want to watch Life in Pieces. I only got into it in the last season.
That's not the one you watched from the start? And I kept saying it looks so stupid?
No, I just wrote how I found it in its... Like, I found this really good show.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah, you did think it looked stupid. Yeah,
I stand by that.
Yeah.
So we're at the loft, and Winston is in his brand new police uniform.
Ooh.
But the construction and loud noises are ruining the moment. But Jess has already placed a call and an email in about this to the city. Schmidt's like, Jess, that's not how democracy works. And then Schmidt tries on the uniform. I love how everybody tries on the uniform. And
so
it magically
funny fits
them all. And when it's too big on Jess, it's way, way too big.
Like, yeah.
Jess and Winston are about the same size.
Well, close.
But he's a little thicker, yeah. But still, I just thought, that's stupid. So Nick and Coach are... worried that Winston's too nice and fragile to be a cop.
And he broke his arm wrapping presents.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And they're worried, and they tell Winston. He says, you guys, don't worry, I have a training officer with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jess is in the uniform, and we find out on her way in, she tased Schmidt.
Nice. I forgot about
that. I've never been tased. Have you guys?
No,
not like that. Like we have a taser at my work. Like I could go like try it out if
I
wanted.
Don't use it on me.
No, obviously. I don't want a tase, no.
Well, I mean, you're the one who I just found out recently urinated in public.
So. I'm like, oh, when he didn't get the ticket, though?
Yeah. The lack of evidence.
Yeah.
They didn't collect a sample while it was happening. Jeez. So we're at the graduation, and the gang is anxiously waiting for Winston alphabetically. Stand and yell. Winston's like, oh, my gosh, stop, stop. And then Coach blows an air horn, and Winston pulls his gun out.
That's a real thing, because this year at a college graduation, they made an announcement, mm-hmm. no air horns.
Oh,
they now ban air horns from graduations.
They should.
And that's the problem, is they treated it like it's a college graduation. They're the only ones that stood up.
Yelling.
And yelling their name and everything else. And he's smiling going across the stage. Like, he's treating it like a college graduation.
Right. Like,
and we find out later that he never told his mom that he's a police officer. But it was a little weird to be like, where's his sister? Where's his mom? But then that is definitely explained down the road.
And then Ryan said someone was having sex with a dolphin.
So before that, Jess is saying that there's lots of city officials there. Maybe she should go talk to them. And Schmidt is like, you need to be a shark, not a dolphin. Like, he's a shark and she's a dolphin. Ryan does make some weird comment about a family member getting arrested. He's like rich and fancy, but also that.
That's why Cece said, mm-hmm. I can't figure you out.
Yeah, and someone else can't figure him out. I don't know if it's this episode or someone else makes a comment like that. Then they see Councilwoman Fawn Moscato. She's in our district. I love that Jess would just recognize a council person.
I know.
I would not know.
Oh, they could walk right up to me.
And even given where I work, I should. I'd be like, I don't know who you are.
Joe might.
Nah, he lives in a different state, so probably he won't. Unless he's in his state.
He was on Redlands Buzz.
He loves Redlands Buzz.
Yep.
My favorite thing about Joe is how he moved out of Redlands, California to Arizona, but he's still a member of the Redlands Buzz Facebook group and will call me from Arizona to share with me things, despite the fact that I'm a member and I've already seen them.
I don't think I'm a member, but Joe keeps me posted.
You don't need to be, because Joe will just send screenshots.
I love when Joe does that.
Our kids, every time, especially if we're with my parents, are just like, you know, I saw on Redlands Buzz, their whole body like deflates. Like, God, not again.
I love when he talks about Redlands Buzz.
Okay, so that's when they give Winston a giant bouquet of flowers, which I loved.
So hilarious.
They meet his training officer, Allie Nielsen, and make comments to her in front of her about how small she is, some sexist comments about how she's not a guy, and she walks away very mad. It's like, wow, great friends, Bishop.
Well, not only that, but she's like, and they're talking about me, and you're a guy with these flowers?
Yes.
Is that flowers or are those trees? Because those look like trees to my small self.
Those were so extra.
And they're so big. And then I love how she goes after that. Winston's like yelling at them. He's like, thanks a lot, guys. And the first thank you was sarcasm, but the second is a real thank you, because these flowers are dope as hell.
Flowers are dope as hell.
So Jess goes to Fawn and she's like, here, let me give you a tip. Go on this website and fill out these forms. And I'm like, Jess, that's not real.
And then Fawn says to Jess, I volunteer with deaf children. They would welcome the noise because they could hear.
But it's very spot on. Anytime you deal with government. You got to fill out form AB6646-213-. You're like, oh my gosh. And when you submit that, you got to fill it out. You're this, you got to fill out this. Or you're that, you got to fill out that.
My friend, he waited 6 months for his unemployment. But then he got a huge lump sum. But if he hadn't had savings,
been in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I can see now, Jess, I can see that her personality, she has the patience of an angel.
Yeah.
So she'll fill out those forms till the cows come
home.
She
did.
Right.
Yeah, it took her hours.
Such sincerity.
Nick ain't going to sit down and do that.
No.
Schmidt definitely ain't going to do that, because he's already said, do it the Democratic way.
Right.
But pay people off and bribe people and grease some bombs.
So then Jess goes up to Schmidt when she gets the forms and makes dolphin noises in his ear right in front of Fawn Moscato.
That was a good dolphin imitation.
It was an excellent one. This is a weird thing, but we do that at my work all the time. We have contests for who makes the best dolphin noises.
Yeah, I remember she was a singer before an actress.
Jess.
Yeah.
I think she was both at the same time.
So she has that voice control.
Yeah, I've seen her in movies where she, in one movie she plays a singer. And
Elf?
Then in movies where she sings.
No. She sings an elf.
It's a really like dark movie. She has this weird agent. It's weird.
So we find out that Schmidt's going to take Fawn to dinner to fix the problem, to discuss more about it, hence the start of their relationship, which I thought goes for more episodes than it does, but when I was looking ahead to play on the podcast, she's not on it as long as I thought she was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But
she just leaves such a strong impression, I think.
Yeah. The lead up to the dinner, though, was he was very concerned about his looks
and his how tailoring. He looked.
And
no, we're nowhere near that yet. That's the meeting at the end. That's not that. I'll let you take that when we get there, but that's for the meeting. But so we're several scenes from that.
We are at the point where Jess says, "You're a deer, Fawn."
Yes. She made a pun.
Yeah, she made a pun.
Today I said, our dad was talking to Joe about his ice cream business, and he said, "What's the scoop?" And I just cannot stop laughing. And my dad didn't look like he thought it was funny.
Did you get it?
I was like, "You made a pun." He's like, "Yeah."
What's the scoop?
Okay, so Jess is filling out the forms, and Ryan's trying to hook up with her, but she's like, "No, I've got to get these forms done." Nick and Coach tell Winston shows a text to Nick and Coach of someone he went to school with who just got his first day of training. He got stabbed in the leg by a kid, but it's so funny because a kid did it.
But Winston liked it. He's like, "That's cool, man. It was a kid."
But the picture was ridiculous.
It was a big old knife sticking out of his leg.
And someone would stop and pose.
And he's all like this, smiling.
And that's when possibly the best thing that's ever happened on New Girl happens. Winston says he's going to make Allie a sandwich and a crossword puzzle with Winston-related clues so he could get to know her better. So he could get to know him better.
Can someone please make one of those?
All the answers are Winston. Who loves cats?
Winston. Oh, I thought it was going to be like, what's Winston's cat's name? Ferguson.
Well, the way he said, it's all Winston-related clues, and then gave an example.
He don't have Ferguson yet.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he has Ferguson.
I just kicked Heather's dog in the face.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
He looks okay.
Why
she's
did
okay.
You do that?
Obviously, it was on purpose.
Wait a minute. I haven't seen Ferguson all season.
So before, when you were on the phone or something, Heather and I were just saying, like, Ferguson hasn't been in several episodes.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I can see why you would ask that.
I thought he got Ferguson when he became a cop.
No, he got it before when he was dating Daisy, like the second season, third season?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jess is doing all, finally finished all the forms and wants to, I'm so sorry, I missed the part. So the guys go visit Allie at the station. I love how they're dressed in suits.
Oh.
And Allie gets really mad. Is like, was this Winston's idea? Like, he's going to pay for this. This isn't funny. And they go to talk to her about protecting Winston, which is so cute.
So cute. And they call her a Persian Webster.
Oh, God. To her face?
I don't know. I think they might have been talking to each other.
Oh, God.
But Webster, do you guys know who Webster?
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah, okay. From the 70s, yeah.
Inappropriate joke, actually.
Webster wasn't inappropriate. That was a funny show.
The joke was inappropriate. I called her a Persian Webster.
Every episode.
That wasn't the 70s, though. That was the Webster. 80s.
The boy? They're talking about the boy?
Allie.
Oh, Allie.
Yeah.
Persian.
She's Persian. And she's like miniature.
That was funny.
Yeah, the best jokes are the ones you have to explain. So Jess does all of the forms, but Ryan's now passed out and drank a bottle of wine. Nick, why is he in love? It just says Nick in love. Something happened where Nick was in love?
No.
I guess he's in love with Kai. I don't know. Then Fawn says at the date that Schmidt looks like a Jewish Kennedy. It's about the best compliment you could give him.
But she says, "I hope no one did because that's offensive."
He brings up the noise and she uses, maybe he comes back and he tells Nick he's in love. I don't know. So he comes back to Jess and he's like, that form she gave you, that's nonsense. Jess reads the fine print and 360 to 50 days for a response. And Nick uses his thumb and he's like, the issue with and talks like Fawn's script.
Yeah.
And he's like, she took advantage of you again. She's manipulating you. But you know him. He doesn't mind being manipulated. So Jess and Cece have organized, Cece's visiting, and Jess has organized neighbors to make signs and phone calls.
Hilarious.
And we see who, Heather?
Outside Dave.
He's inside Dave this time.
They usually never let him in, which I thought was weird, but he reminded me of me when he started telling his life story on the phone.
Oh my God, yes. And I love how he's like so serious. And doing such a good job. He's like, now I'm going to smash a muffin through the phone. Do you know what flavor it is?
And he's all, and that baby was me.
Yeah. Mud boy.
Yeah, mud boy.
So we're in the car on the way to the ribbon cutting with Fawn Moscato, and Schmidt tips her off to the protest and the speech that Jess is planning. And she's like, if only someone could oppose them. And then he says something, I don't know, and she goes, you know, we need to tone down the whole Jewish thing in public. Oh my God.
Fawn.
I know. Schmidt really has some issues, man. He dates some terrible people.
Yeah.
So Winston's on the job when Allie's telling him about the roommates, and they find out that the roommates are tailing them after Winston goes, you'll never see them again. She's like, I won't. They're right behind us.
People do that when their kid is in kindergarten.
Yeah, not
in the car.
Yeah. So then we, the guys pull over with Winston to discuss it. They steal his keys. Imagine stealing a police officer's keys, even if you know him. They hear a call on the radio. That sounds dangerous. Try to stop. And when Allie comes over, knocks it. Well, first he knocks Coach out. And then I love how Nick's like, no, 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 no. But she's on her way over. But it's too late.
Yeah.
Knocks him out. Cuffs them both. We'll return to that scene in a minute.
And he's too sarcastic for white games.
And also, I feel like it was nighttime during Jess's speech. And I don't know why. I guess I just assume that council meetings and stuff like that are at night. But it's daytime during this.
Yeah.
So Jess is giving her speech with a terrible skit with Ryan in it, dressed like a construction person.
That was hilarious.
Cece looks at Schmidt and says, oh, I'm sorry, Joe, I didn't let you take this. You were supposed to address the sleeve length before the date.
Yeah. So he thinks they're crooked, and he's like, oh, my new tailor sews like an army medic.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And knowing that he's insecure about that, Jess has asked Cece to say, are there new jacket sleeves shorter even?
So funny. I was dying.
He gets totally distracted by his sleeves, blows the speech, and Fawn comes out and tries to take credit for switching to the day schedule now.
That Fawn, she never misses an opportunity.
No, she does not. Unless she walks away waving like it's the inauguration presidential thing. Like, isn't there more of a meeting to have, Fawn? So they're at the bar, and Jess...
Oh, wait. Someone says... Oh, Schmidt says, because he likes noise, a baby screamed. That baby became a man. Abe Lincoln.
How dare you invoke Lincoln! So they're at the bar, and Cece admits to Schmidt that Jess told him told her to say something about the jackets. And for some reason, then Jess is there, and she's talking to Schmidt, and all she says is... Like, this is like evil Winston. Remember when he was evil for that one week? What?
I want to see that.
What week was that? What's his version of evil?
Yeah, that annoyed me.
So even though she's being treated bad and Jess points that out, Schmidt still goes back to Fawn. Boo. Well, I like Fawn as a character, but I want to see Cece.
Fawn says she picked up votes, which votes are like tiny orgasms.
Yeah, she picked up votes. She said, it's okay, no one can blame me for going to the day schedule because you act like such a buffoon.
Right.
So then we find that Allie has taken the guys to a support group for families and friends of officers.
That's my scene.
Coaches. Oh, you want to take it?
Yes. Because this is another one I always think of when I think of New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like might be my favorite of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Is where Coach is pouring out his heart and soul. And Nick is going, stop laughing at this man. Yeah. This man is in pain. And the guy's like, it's a support group.
Don't judge him. Yeah.
And he just gets so funny because the guy's like, dumb. We don't do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then Allie says to Winston that it was a good first day. And then we see that the morning day crew now wakes Jess up because they're so loud, talks to her, and she has muffins for them. We forgot to talk about how Schmidt was putting lotion
bagel.
On his leg.
He wanted a bagel.
Not a
with schmear.
Schmear.
That's something I would do.
Make, snacks for crew workers. I wouldn't hand it to him through the window. That's kind of weird. But.
And then I wrote, for once, people are obsessed with Winston.
Yes. Finally.
But we did miss the part where Winston accuses Nick and Schmidt of fouling him, right?
Nick and Coach.
Yeah, Nick and Coach. Mm-hmm. And then he says, we need that toilet paper back you stole from the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You visited my partner and you stole toilet paper from the police officer's bathroom. We need that toilet paper, man.
That was so funny.
Out of all the things
who
happening,
steal from a police station.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of a coincidence because on this week's episode of The Neighborhood, which stars Schmidt it as a different character.
Max Greenfield.
He's like following his son to school because his kid wants to walk to school, but he uses a drone.
Oh gosh, I haven't watched it yet. I look forward to that.
And then Schmidt, once they got it, they were trying to get it overturned, and he was on the councilman's side. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Don't listen to them. That's her doe-eyed pixie and her Indian henchwoman."
Oh my gosh.
That's how he described Jess and Cece.
Her Indian.
Because it got pretty hairy in there.
Woman.
Okay, so that brings us to Jess' look, which I don't have a favorite dress look from this episode. Joe, do you?
No, I didn't really pay attention.
This one, I remember her in bed and watching the construction guy go by. And then her arguing. But is this the one where she's next to something, has that gray shirt on? It looked like there was like goldfish on it or something. She had a gray
one. We watched a lot of episodes in a row.
Yeah, I can't remember. Oh,
okay.
Heather?
Well, this is interesting because I actually loved everything she wore, so I'm surprised you didn't. But for look, I mean, police suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Best dressed overall? I gave to Fawn because it's just nice to see something different. And I thought they dressed her very realistically to a councilwoman in Los Angeles who would probably have some money for outfits.
Yeah.
Joe, best dressed?
Yeah, she was probably the best dressed.
Heather?
This is something.
It was hard not to choose Winston in his cute uniform.
This is something I never do, you guys. Mm-hmm. Never. This is going to really shock everyone, but we're all sitting down. For best dressed, I put Jess.
Wow.
Because I loved every single dress.
Yeah, you like Jess's clothes. So that's not shocking. You just haven't lately.
I just don't put her... I like Jess's clothes. I just don't put her for best dress.
Oh, okay.
Because we do just look.
True. It's redundant. Favorite Schmidt moment? I don't really have one. There's a zero on the jar count. Heather, did you have a favorite Schmidt moment?
I put tailoring scene with outside Dave.
He talked to Dave about his sleeves being uneven?
Did he?
I don't think so. Oh, you were probably saying outside Dave.
Oh!
Comma, the tailoring scene.
Tailoring scene. That's okay.
Yeah. Joe?
Funniest moment?
Favorite or funniest?
Wait, I thought we were doing favorites. No, we're doing favorite Schmidt.
Favorite Schmidt.
Favorite Schmidt moment. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it has to be. I like when they're in the limo ride. I thought that was funny.
Oh, the Uber.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he thought it was security.
He was talking about a knife. He goes, she's like, "You got to handle that knife." And Jewish guys know how to handle a knife.
Sharp scissors.
Sharp scissors. Yeah.
He said that. Yeah. Now, favorite or funniest moment, Joe. Then we'll go to Heather. Overall.
I would say it's them trying on Winston's uniform. That's how you know they don't take his job seriously.
No.
Let me try it on.
Yeah, chasing Schmidt. Heather, what was your favorite or funniest moment?
Well, it's seeing tailoring scene with outside Dave.
Okay, you already said that for your Schmidt one.
He didn't get a tailor.
No, that's my favorite Schmidt.
Yeah, I'm asking for your favorite overall.
Oh, it has to be Nick and Coach at the support group.
That is very good.
I just want to point out, outside Dave was also in the Christmas episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like an embarrassment of riches. I am so rich.
Two in a row, yeah.
Yeah,
doing out of order, so I got confused.
Last one was Christmas.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so my favorite was when Winston's going to make Allie a sandwich. That alone would have been adorable, but then he was going to do a crossword with Winston-related clues. I mean, that just kills me. He's so adorable.
Yes.
Okay, so now is Honey Roast for best character, performance, object, etc. I'm giving to Fawn, who plays an amazing councilwoman who's only concerned with herself and does not hide it. She is very much what you see is what you get, except for the manipulation, of course. And I really enjoyed her as an addition to the show. Joe, Honey Roast?
Allie.
You excited for Allie?
I love that.
Well, she fit in pretty well for her first episode.
Dry humor.
Pretty up with all the, shenanigans of the boys, what I'm saying?
Almost like she was going through a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to stop saying that so much.
It's on our bingo.
Right. So that's why it should come up naturally. But Heather, Honey Roast, is that where I'm at?
Yeah, okay. First of all, Honey Roast.
Right.
spoiler alert, I'm going to be giving Honey Roast to Fawn Moscato in the future, okay? Because this episode contained outside Dave.
Mm-hmm. Who's inside Dave today.
Right. Love you, outside Dave.
A zero on the Bears, and that brings us to discussion questions. I don't have one for today. Joe, do you? It's okay if you don't.
I don't know if I have one, because everything in this show, this was a show that revolved around Winston.
Yes, mm-hmm. Love that.
You know, and him getting to be a police officer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I don't think any of us, I guess the question is, has anyone had a friend who became a cop?
Mm.
Or maybe a firefighter? Someone with like a cool dangerous uniform?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like when I forgot my first job in sports, people were like, oh, you got tickets to the game. You got tickets to the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I don't got tickets to the game. You know what I'm saying? So some people like to come see your work and stuff like that.
Mm. Oh, right.
But like, job you perks. Know, if you're a doctor, you know, do you get a stethoscope? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I guess that would be the question. Have you ever had a friend with a cool job that you're like, man, I gotta get one of those.
Oh, okay. Mm. Good question.
I've never tried on anyone else's uniform.
Oh, that would be gross.
I definitely have hit people up for free tickets to things.
Or a nurse, like, you know, you wouldn't try their scrubs on. But.
Ew, no thank you. One year for work, though, because I wear, like, my really cute office clothes, and I'm one of the few people in my work who wears heels, so they can always, like from all the way down the hall in a different office. So I'm like, Jill's coming! Because everyone else is in scrubs and tennis shoes. So for Christmas one year, I went and took some of our scrubs, and I wore, like, scrubs and sneakers, and everyone got a big kick out of it.
Funny.
And had a name tag that said Dr. Jill, and had a stuffed dog with me and a toy stethoscope. Which is not what you asked, but I just love that story.
I love that.
Heather, do you have an answer for Joe's question?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, except for your work, like, I don't, because you work at the Humane Society. Do we say that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, that you work at the Humane Society, and mm-hmm. I like dog stuff. But, like, I'm too intimidated to ask people. But one time, my ex-friend, who I hate, asked my best friend, Ellie, who was a dental hygienist. She's like, and this is how she said it. Get me one of those teeth pick things.
Oh, a water pick?
Yeah. You can't
You just steal it. Those are expensive,
stop
though.
It.
Joe, do you have an answer for your own question?
Mm.
No, I mean, I guess the question should have been maybe, have you ever been envious of someone's job? They're like, man, wouldn't it be cool if I could do that for a day?
I'm envious of your two new cars.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. But that's not, I mean.
Joe has two new cars.
You're more envious of, like, an ice cream shop. Like,
I
like
am?
Oh, the free ice
free
cream.
Free ice yeah. cream, yeah.
No, I'm good. You know? I have you if I want free ice cream.
Yeah.
Or I can exactly. Cold Stone. I mean.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know if I've had a friend. Like, all my friends.
Like, the job perk is so cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I've always worked in sports and entertainment. So, it's like.
They have job perks,
they would
yeah.
want
like,
that.
Like, I've been the one with kind of a cool job. But you don't view it as a cool job.
When you're doing you know what it, I'm you saying? Don't view it as a cool
you
job.
You really don't. Like, yeah. You know, like.
I think casting for a game show looks like a really cool job. You get to meet a lot of people, and you get to make people give them an opportunity to win money. I met someone who did that, and I was envious. Do you have an example, Hubs?
I think, just what you're talking about, mm-hmm. I think it would be fun, because I think that people who try out for top
game shows
probably have a lot of personality, so yeah. They're fun people. So yeah. That's good. I don't want to do that, though. I've never been envious of any job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, and this is retired people.
Oh, I love them.
That's where
I want their job.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Though, sorry.
But also, when I had a job for PepsiCo, but I worked on the Frito-Lay side, people were so envious because I had closets full of chips and snacks.
You had a stand-up Captain Crunch.
I did
like a cutout.
Yes.
Life size.
That we gave to our
friend. Of the captain.
It was life size because he was short.
Yeah.
Like the size of a child.
Yeah. And so, but when, and that was when I was just working for Quaker Oats when I got the captain. But once I started working for Frito-Lay, they would send me, like, in my house, everywhere. I had samples. But they really were for customers. And then my friend, who I hate now, she would always be like, I need, I'm going camping. I need free chips. Like that.
A lot of stories about her. The podcast is like about her.
I can hear you about the free food. Everyone wants free food.
Yeah. Free food is the worst.
I was just thinking that when I was watching Selling Sunset, Christine, is that the blonde one who had the baby? She has a girl who plans all her events and parties for her. Oh. And since I do that for a living, but for a nonprofit, my budget's always super small. I am envious of people who can plan an event when there's like a Kardashian level party.
Unlimited budget.
I mean, but also I would be so frugal with it. Think of how much better I could make it because I wouldn't want to spend that kind of money on stuff.
But Christine, like, does that girl only plan events for Christine?
I'm sure she doesn't have a lot of... She's an event planner, but I bet she's very exclusive. To the stars.
Yeah. I am so obsessed with Christine's wedding.
Like, we couldn't afford her. Yes. If we were getting married, we couldn't afford her.
Well, that'd be weird. Right, divorced, yeah.
She'd be like, you know, her weddings are $500,000 and up.
Oh, no, so crazy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Heather, discussion question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
My question is kind of like Joe's, but different. So, have you ever had a friend or even a family member where you were in a situation, it could be a job or not a job, where you were scared for their safety?
Yours, every time you've ever had a job. Because me? You're you. Yeah.
Why would I get her to work?
You're just, like, naive. You would drive. You were traveling. You worked at a place that I think was, like, a front for some sort of seedy
during
business.
During 9/11, you were traveling.
She I was literally trapped in Dallas. And so do you worry now, like, when I go somewhere? Because I'm a mess.
No, you don't really go anywhere. So
yeah, I don't go places. Yeah.
I didn't like when Joe traveled a lot. That bothered me. But I don't know anyone who's in a job that's particularly dangerous. Joe?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. My nephew.
Oh, duh. Oh, my God. Coffee. I can't wait to think of that.
Good one.
Sorry, Derek.
Just got back from Afghanistan.
That was terrible. That was literally, like, traumatizing for everybody.
For everyone. Yeah, that was really scary.
But someone on a job, like a 9-to-5 and not, you know, servicing our country, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. My brother did fly. He was a traffic reporter for many years in a helicopter, you know, and those things, they're not like planes.
Right.
There's no glide to them. When they go down, they just go down.
And he was in one 5 days a week, probably.
Yep. Matter of fact, he got out because when he got married, his wife said, okay,
too dangerous. Yeah, that was smart.
Yeah, so he got out of that and you know, spoiler, they don't do anymore from helicopters.
Of course not.
You know, they don't do.
No. They'll make them sound like they are, but they're not.
Oh.
They're all computerized. Matter of fact, his last job when he was a reporter, he would do Houston traffic, Tulsa, Los Angeles, and Phoenix.
And Joe,
from a room in Deer Valley, Arizona.
When there was the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, before it was on Twitter, before the news covered it, before it was on Facebook, I luckily wasn't at my work, which is alarmingly close to where it happened. I was at the dentist, and Joe had called me like a bunch of times, and he was explaining to me, it was inaccurate just because it was unfolding, what was happening. And I'm like, how do you know this? And he's like, my brother. And I'm like, your brother lives in Arizona. Like, I didn't believe it.
Right.
And I was like, and respectfully to Joe, like, sometimes he gets confused. I'm sure you guys have noticed on the podcast.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is what, I think it's fine, Joe. Like, I'll call my work. I'll check into it. And like 5 minutes later, the lady who ran the dental office, because we work with her at my work, came in like, honey, please don't go back to work. Please stay here. We don't want you going on the road. This is what happened. And I was like, oh, shoot. Joe and his brother were right. Like, it just sounded so unbelievable.
Right.
But that's what it is now. You don't have to be in a helicopter. You could be anywhere. Yeah. The police scanners.
The content or the author, I think they call him, of Redlands Buzz.
Is this the episode where we already talked about Redlands
they'll
Buzz?
They'll tell you when King 40 is in the air, which is the police helicopter.
Oh.
When the planes are flying, where they're flying, where the fire fighting tankers, the planes, when they take off, come in. That guy knows everything.
Well, the San Bernardino Police Department is like, I don't know if the word is like scrambled now or something. Like, you can't listen to it anymore. But that day you could, and you didn't want to. It was
terrible.
Yeah, it was scary.
I will say something. That day I had my old phone, like
Oh, we couldn't find you. We couldn't track you down.
Because that phone always died. Mm-hmm. And then it was interesting because I wasn't working. I was going to go to the unemployment office, which is a government office.
In San Bernardino.
In San Bernardino. And you told me, don't go to the unemployment office.
Yeah, because we didn't know where they were going to go next.
Right. But so I didn't go.
Good.
And then I went the next day, and the lady who worked there said, they locked everyone yeah. in and
would
they
have freaked had to stay out. There.
And I have claustrophobia and I have anxiety. Mm-hmm. So that, no, wouldn't
that
have
wouldn't
good.
Have been
no.
good.
And you're outrage. Panicking. And I had to, well, this podcast isn't about the terrorist attack, but I had to end up having to go back to work. And there were people who were there with like appointments for their pets and they wouldn't leave the building. So we were like passing out free water because you didn't know where they were. And right. they did drive one street over. They drove through a fence at a different, I don't know if it's public knowledge. So a different business very close to us went back to Redlands to reload. They were headed somewhere. Yeah. You know, they never made it there. Thank God.
They lived not far from
that
us.
That was so disturbing. Yeah. And so I'm hysterical at work. And Caden was old enough to be watching the news. He's like, please come home. Please come home. And then I get home and we drive to our house. And it's still happening. It was like I couldn't get away from it.
Oh, my God.
It messes with. And you know what? We had a mild experience compared to everybody else. Like, to put right. it in perspective, obviously, we know that.
Right.
But that was, yeah, that was a weird day. And we went to the bank because we had to make our deposit. And there was, like, sniper shooters on top on the roof of the bank. This the most apocalyptic, weirdest, scarring experience I've ever had.
It was like one of the weirdest things.
Why are we talking about that?
Because we were talking about my brother's job.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Heather, do you have a discussion question? Did you just ask a discussion question? Are we done?
No. She already asked one.
I just haven't answered my own.
Okay, go ahead.
And then, okay.
I literally have no clue. I don't know what episode we're talking about.
This is, you're going to have to get yourself together before the next one. So this is like not a job, but that's okay. To be scared for safety. And I went through the whole first 2 years of the pandemic and I was fine. I mean, I stayed home, but I didn't have any anxiety or anything. Then, unfortunately, a dear friend of mine passed away a few months ago. And then I got, like, really upset. Mm-hmm. And then Caden got it. And then I was...
What did Caden get?
COVID.
COVID.
Oh. Yeah. And then I was so afraid that you two guys were going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't. Either one of you, but Joe happened to be sick at that time. Like, he had a sore throat.
Shortly after.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't have Joe have COVID. So it was bad.
Okay.
Well, that's safety. Sickness
and
safety.
No, I know. It's just like the weirdest discussion questions we've ever had. I don't even know if people are still listening.
Probably not.
All right. That's definitely going to wrap up this episode. We'll see you next week for season 4, episode 13, coming out. Thank you so much for listening. We love you guys so much. All your messages on Instagram. We appreciate you. Have a great week.
We love you.
Bye.